Hello and welcome to the Bring It Podcast. We watched Loki. It's a bit late, actually.
Yeah.
But Loki, we finished.
2 weeks, but oh well.
That's
Yeah.
because of when we release the shows, though. Not much we can do about it. Sorry,
But
guys.
if you believe in time travel, we could be right on time.
Oh.
I couldn't
No,
think of anything funny for that.
that would disrupt the timeline, Tom. We couldn't do that.
Well,
Yeah.
apparently it's not so much of a problem now. Spoilers. Well,
If
obviously.
if you're a superhero, they don't care, Rory.
that's true. That's
Not that
true.
we're superheroes.
So, just as the summary, I feel like I did say before that we shouldn't go by the IMDb score,
That's
based off
how I
something I
base
was
all of
told.
my opinions.
No. I'm saying like apparently IMDb is like not an accurate representation of what critics think because people can just vote on it like over and
Yeah,
over.
IMDb isn't critics, it's just users.
Yeah. Okay. So what the Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter, which was critics, was 93%, which is like crazy for
It's
Marvel.
pretty damn high.
And
Very
then the
high.
audience score was 84%, so quite a disparity there.
Not the biggest disparity ever.
Not really that bad.
Not the biggest ever, but I think that's quite unusual for Marvel
It's
for something to
usually
be
just
more.
because there's less critics reviewing, and because of how many users are reviewing, it's just going to naturally be lower because there'll be people like, oh, this didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. One star.
I wouldn't say it's that common for Marvel though to have this sort of imbalance.
Sorry, I've just gone on Rotten Tomatoes and looked at the user reviews, and one of them
Right.
from Santi P is half a star, and it just says a crap without imagination.
I think if there's one
Oh.
thing this show has, it's imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. It has a lot, but it definitely has imagination.
Yeah, we probably should kick off with that, shouldn't we, Rory? What were you,
I really enjoyed it. By
It's
the
definitely
way,
the best of the three so
in
far.
a lot of the people in these user reviews are just angry about girls being a big part of it.
Oh.
It's all stuff like, why are girls more important within a show called Loki? It's
on,
not right.
did WandaVision have low user ratings? I wonder.
But it's
Yeah,
called
actually, it was
Loki,
quite
but
low, yeah.
it's not specific on which Loki. Could be
Just
the
a bunch.
woman,
It's
the
just.
female
It's just.
Loki.
It's just a bunch of incels, isn't it? Sorry,
Yeah, well, yeah, it is.
I've taken us off track here. Yeah, I really
Yeah.
enjoyed it. I think it was the
Okay, I'm just
most.
testing this theory. I want to see like what all of the wait, what was the Black
Yeah,
Widow?
shut
Let's see
up,
what that's
Rory.
like.
Yeah, sorry.
No, continue. I'll just keep searching.
I think it was the most imaginative. Oh, going back to a crap without imagination, it was the most imaginative of the three, like Tom said. I
Oh,
think, like,
definitely.
in terms of like the setting, it's probably the most interesting I've been
Yeah.
in like a story, a Marvel story, in a very long time, because it's so withdrawn from everything they've done recently. I know they went back in time in Avengers or whatever, but it wasn't in
Yeah.
the same way, and there wasn't like a defined institution that just sort of sits outside of time and space in the Marvel universe before.
I do like the fact that, like, it's really set up the next phase well. Like, everyone was talking about the things in the last episode and that's how powerful he is. But like, if you compare him to like Thanos, he was able to create a whole system where the Infinity Stones were completely useless and magic and all of that was completely useless.
Yeah,
And
I didn't even think about that.
I think just setting up the next villain. I mean, a lot of what Marvel does is just set up for the next way, but if they set up the next phase like this, I'm happy because it was
Yeah.
done very well.
You have to think, if they've set him up like that, how are they going to set the villain after this villain up to even
Be
be even
like
more powerful than him?
Galactus, and then they'll find like a footprint the size of England somewhere,
Yeah. Yeah, because
and
I
they'll be
guess
like,
he
yeah,
could
that'll be
just.
him.
But surely
Just kick him.
this guy would be more powerful than Galactus, because he could just be like, I'm going to put you in another timeline.
Yeah, but it'll just kick him.
I mean,
Yeah. I mean,
Sylvia killed him, didn't he? She, even.
Sylvie. But yeah, but do you
Sylvia.
not understand that that was his plan?
Yeah, I know, but like, you can kill
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know.
You can still kill him though, can't
Yeah,
you?
you
Like,
can
it's not
still kill him.
impossible.
Yeah, but again, that's the whole point. He was one of the good variants. Like the actual Kang the Conqueror variant would not like do that.
Yeah, he won't be very nice.
By the way, Rory, theory debunked. The Black Widow, which I've seen everywhere, that it's like it's more based on the female gaze, so it's a little bit less sort of provocative with camera angles, as you can imagine with Black Widow, as it has been, especially in Iron Man 2. And that's got a 92% audience score and an 81% tomato meter. So there's at least one outlier there.
I think what most of these people seem to have a problem with is that they've made the series like sort of half and half about another version of Loki that isn't a man.
Yeah, and I think
it's just a bit weird. I mean, you can't really have that problem with Black Widow because she's been the same throughout the whole thing.
I was going to say, people were probably going into Loki, the incels were probably going into Loki expecting just our classic Loki being his mischievous self and no one else being there. But no one's going to go into Black Widow expecting a non-female empowered film.
I was just thinking, could you imagine
Black Widow?
Could you imagine if like there was a variant of Black Widow, which was a guy, it was Rupert Grint or something?
Rupert Grint.
Yeah, because he's ginger. That's what the first ginger actor I thought.
With like a bodysuit open and just the zip down to his waist.
Bloody hell!
He's going to sacrifice himself.
Don't.
I've just got such a strange image of Rupert. I don't know why, but I feel like Rupert.
What do you mean you don't know why? We all know why.
No, I don't know why. I just feel like Rupert Grint out of the main three from Harry Potter should not act in anything else.
Blimey, Harry.
That's really harsh.
Not that he's bad.
Retire.
I feel like he would be out of place more than the other two.
Do you hear that, Rupert Grint? Stop acting.
I don't think. I mean, I think he has.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, he's probably minted, so.
Yeah. He's married to Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging Woman. I don't know what his name is.
I thought you were just going to say he was married to the Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging Life.
No.
No.
He could be.
This sort of summation we've done of the audience that don't like Loki is going to look quite bad on me now because I wasn't like. I didn't love it. I quite liked it, and I definitely liked certain bits, and I definitely liked like how it tied everything together, like how it explained the whole like Loki disappearance in was it Endgame? I think it was Endgame.
Yeah, it was Endgame.
Yeah.
And then how it explained the everyone suspected the multiverse, and it was pretty much inferred in the in some of the titles. Yeah,
next Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think I heard all about the Spider-Man controversy before that, so it was an implication at first.
The Spider-Man stuff, like Alfred Molina's literally said in an interview, he probably wasn't supposed to, but he said in an interview, he is the character from the Sam Raimi universe.
Mm.
So, it's all but confirmed, but it was confirmed just completely. Everyone knew it was going to happen, but they didn't know when, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I liked a lot of about how they made things happen in the future, and I'm excited for what's to come. It's just that, you know, with like series, it happens in every series, whether it's like a serious like comedy show, there'll always be like a main plot and then a subplot, and they'll do different things in each episode. And the smaller plot around this show, I didn't think was like that gripping. And I also thought
which
that Loki.
Which smaller plot? Like,
well, just the narrative, like the way it's split into all the. I liked the whole idea of splitting into the, like what was it? The Nexus events and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I quite liked the idea of that. I liked the possibilities it's going into, but like the whole like Loki tracking down this mysterious killer thing. It just didn't sell for me at all. And I also thought Loki was a terrible character at the start
for two episodes.
Yeah, he's a terrible character.
Yeah, what do you mean by terrible? Do you mean he wasn't a nice person?
He was an exaggerated version of himself. Like he just became like a comic character rather than like he had like an air of mystery about him for like the whole first few films I watched of him, and that was just gone in this one. And he was just a joke, and it like kind of made me think it's a bit like.
Wasn't he a joke at the start of this season?
Yeah, like,
so that they could build him back up again. Isn't
I feel
that
like
the whole point
perhaps,
of this
perhaps.
The
whole, I didn't really get it though.
The whole thing was like he's been taken out of this timeline where he is one of the most powerful beings in his known universe, and like everything he knows is just instantly washed away, and he's made to feel like in the first in Avengers, when he says he's the boot that's going to tread on the insects of like humanity, he's made to feel like the insect. And I think the whole use of comedy is to accentuate that feeling.
It's I don't necessarily mind the arc as you've described it, but I think that the way they did it was like, I don't think that that comedy just, it never has worked for me. Like that style of comedy, where they just,
to be fair, you've never liked comedy in the MCU, so you probably weren't going to like it here.
It's just a bit exaggerated. Like they completely miss out on subtlety when it comes to like the humor in that. Like it's just all, it's all a bit too slapstick for me.
I think you have to remember that it is for kids as well.
A lot of long franchises like this tend to grow with their audience a bit, and it has grown with their audience.
It has grown with its audience, but I mean the main audience that they're trying to capture overall is a Disney, is part of Disney.
It's why they never make anything 15s, is because they know they'll lose so much of their market, because a lot of their market is children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, maybe it's justified, but it just didn't work for me. I'm just one person, aren't I?
Mm.
Fair enough.
I personally quite liked the comedy.
I liked how they broke him down and made him develop as a character. I feel like he became so much more like multifaceted as a character, because there were still elements of like mischief and being a bit of a cunt in there, but he at the same time was like softer and more emotional where he wasn't before.
I think they did quite a good job of, because obviously they had to develop him sort of to the point where he was when he died in Infinity War in 6 episodes, and some of it I don't think was done that well, but I think for the majority of it they did that 10-year development in 6 episodes very well.
For a show that was like so based around like finding yourself and finding free will, when there isn't meant to be one, they probably needed more than 6 episodes, didn't they?
I had
this written down, but yeah, go on.
I think they were always going to make them quite short, because even like WandaVision, which had 9 or 10 or whatever, those were only like 20-25 minute episodes, so they're probably all about the same length overall. And it's still longer than any of the films, but I think something like this, it could have done with an episode or two more, just a bit more fleshing out, like another episode where they're on the end of time like timeline where all the other variants of Loki are. I think another episode there would have been absolutely fine.
You know, do you remember Paul? Have you seen Paul? I assume you have. It's quite a...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that moment where the alien taps on the guy's head and all of his knowledge is just poured into him, and it's like a massive quick slideshow?
No.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
So all of his knowledge is just imprinted on I think it was Nick Frost's character immediately, in a second. That was basically the last episode of the end of the first episode when he just watched that. When he watched that slideshow and he just ingested all of this emotion that went over 10 years, and I was just like, it wasn't done terribly, it wasn't executed terribly, but it was also a terrible concept.
I think something like that could have been done very, very badly, and I think a lot of it goes to
they weren't forced to do it though.
I think it could have gone very badly, and I think a lot of it was due to Tom Hiddleston's performance, because I think he was very, very good in that scene alone. And I think if it was done in a different way, it could have absolutely like ruined it for me. But I didn't hate it,
because I'm definitely not like 100% against this series.
I knew they had to find a way to develop his character, because in Avengers, at the point when he was taken, he was 100% a villain, and you couldn't have that.
Mm.
So they had to find some way to develop his character, and they also had to do the character development they wanted for that series alone, and do all the stories and all of that in 6 episodes. So I understand why they did it. I'm not massively happy about it, but I understand why they did it. And I think that had they done it a different way, there would have needed to be more episodes, which they clearly didn't have.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that it might be jumping the gun a bit, because we were just talking about episode one.
Yes.
And a lot of my like sort of technical issues were with like the last episode, and it's not like it's a bit like we could honestly do this whole thing without talking about that at all, because it's it's such a technicality. It's about the MCU rather than the actual series, but like I didn't understand a lot of like the whole, like, first of all, I don't know how you can have a Nexus event that would mean you're born a different gender. I don't get what happens for it to be a Nexus event.
Again, they don't say that that's specifically the Nexus event, and I think it might be one of those things where they leave it for the next series.
Yeah.
I mean, series all the time, they leave cliffhangers for the next series.
Mm-hmm, fair enough.
I don't think, unless they outright said it, and I think they purposely made an effort not to say that that was the reason, because it probably wasn't.
Yeah, well, I hope it's just not one of those things forgotten about. I hope it actually is explained. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, you can understand, like, oh, the one where Loki got really old and went on another planet.
Well, yeah.
And then the one where he killed Thor. That made all kinds of sense. And then just don't understand, like, what could happen, like, in a womb or conception.
Every time he asked her and every time, like... Well, Sylvie clearly didn't know, but when she asked Renslayer, Renslayer, the look on her face when she says, I don't know, I feel like she did know.
Really,
I think it's one that's been left purposefully ambiguous. Maybe they don't know the reason yet, and they just will explain later, or maybe they never will.
You know, with this multiverse thing, it literally could be anything. Like someone could have gone back in time and switched the gender in the womb somehow with weird technology, because that's the sort of stuff that Marvel do in the comics. Yeah. So I don't know. I wouldn't obsess over it.
Yeah, I think. Overall, it's a very well thought out TV show, and the way it's led to everything else was done very, very well.
I do wonder if leaving everything as open ended as they have is almost a shortcut to not having to explain anything, because anything is possible.
I love the fact that this can go in any direction.
But then, where are the stakes?
The stakes are that they've got a mad. They've got villains
from different
multiverses coming to kill them, and there's a mad
with each individual character, there are no stakes now, because people can just hop between any reality, and there are infinity realities.
I'm sure that
there'll still be stakes. They can still die.
Yeah, and then you just fetch one from another universe with no consequences.
But the whole point is they won't be the same person. Like, the variants are different. That's the whole point.
But you can get one from a universe where there isn't much difference. Get them from a universe where the Nexus event was nothing to do with them, but it was still a separate universe.
But then they just wouldn't do that, though, would they? Yeah. Because then that would be a cop-out and boring.
And we're also implying that they will easily be able to travel between universes. To be honest, in these films, there's never really been any stakes. With time travel, with all of it, someone could die, they could just get brought back to life. There's never really been any stakes.
Yeah, I mean...
It's just a bit of fun, and this is just a way... This multiverse stuff is just a way of opening up the universe, so there's thousands of stories to tell.
Go on, Rory, actually.
I was just going to say, I think the whole of the next phase is going to be them trying to write this and make it so that all of the multiverses aren't spilling over into one another. Yeah. So maybe your worries about the stakes won't be a thing for too long.
Yeah. And the whole thing, like, the multiverse is supposed to be this massive, massive issue that they've been trying to stop for so long. It's not going to be one of those things where if someone dies, they'll be like, oh, we can just travel to a different one, because it's clearly a massive issue and it's clearly something they will try and stop.
Okay, I definitely oversimplified it, but at the same time, what I'm saying is every end is loose end, is what I mean. Someone, when someone dies, it's like VAR. You kind of like, yeah, but I'm not really that sad, because I bet he's coming back. You just look at their contract online or something, see if it's run out yet.
I mean, that's
but been you can a, do it before the same the with,
yeah, that's been the same yeah. throughout the last 13 years or however long.
It's just an easier way of doing it, isn't it?
I think that's why they've done it. It's just like plot armor, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a thing in the comics for plot armor, but now they can literally just do whatever they want with whatever character they want. Yeah, and it doesn't have to tie back to anything.
Yeah, I love, like, they can just, they have like almost complete freedom with characters they use. Like, they could get a Captain America from a different universe who's played by John Krasinski, because he was one of the people who was originally close to being cast as Captain America. Like, they could be like, there's a nice little nod to that, and it'll be a bit of fan service, but it'll be fun.
In terms of like encouraging creativity within like a big franchise, it's probably one of the best things they could do.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like if they just bring someone on board, like I don't know, I can't think of a director off my head, but someone really weird.
Scorsese, he'd love it.
Well, yeah, they could make like a 1930s gangster Avengers or something like that. It would just be able to do it.
I also thought there was some like there was some slight flaw. Like I didn't really think the whole He Who Remains thing. I had like a long discussion with Rory about this, Tom. I don't think you were present in the chat for it. But like
I tried to talk after and explain things.
You explained a couple of things that like, because there were, we probably brought up a bunch of stuff. The thing that I don't get is the idea that he could predict absolutely anything up until a certain point.
I remembered you'd said this, and I've written down something that I think sort of makes sense for it. Wouldn't it just be that other Lokis had maybe got that far before, or he'd let them get that far before because he knew that they were like the one being that could maybe get as close to him as anyone else within all these timelines. And he was able to, you know, because he's a scientist, maybe run simulations that would tell him what they were going to do, or he could even just watch the timeline with his like timekeeping force to, you know, figure out what they were going to say, figure out what they're going to do, up to a point where he could control it, and then just, if he wanted to, let him take over.
Also, does that make sense? He puts a choice through at the end, one that he openly says is not up to him, and it's completely free will. And I think he wants that. And I think he knew that if he went forward and saw the whole thing, or made the whole thing happen as he wanted it to happen, then there wouldn't be free will at that point. And he wouldn't get, he would be the one choosing what happens. Because like, as he said, the timeline happens as he wants it to happen. So he obviously had made the script, or whatever, however you want to put it, up until a certain point, because he knew if he did it any further, he would be taking away the free will of their choice.
So he didn't even have free will until that point, though, surely, because
I think that's one of the points, like, it's sort of up in the air. Like, he's creating a timeline, but does he have his own free will? Like, does he actually fully choose what happens, or is he just there to marshal it? Or
isn't your query is how has he created it if he's having to live it without free will? Is that your sort of one?
It's such a complex conversation that it's really hard to like hear whether your thoughts are exactly aligned with mine. It's really difficult to like hear it.
I think,
but like it was specifically, and I don't know if this kind of is close to what you were saying. It was the fact that he was having conversations with them, and then he was like dodging their punches and everything. And it's like,
yeah, because he knew.
Okay,
like,
hang on.
He'd wrote the script up until a certain point.
Okay, but if he wrote the script and he's interacting with them, then he has to act a certain way for it to unfold the way it's going to unfold, which means that he has no free will.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the things about it. Like, he's made it happen that way. So in reality, does he have his own free will? I think it's an ambiguous topic. It's an ambiguous sort of like theme. And I don't think we're supposed to fully understand it. It's not a show. It's not a show to tie up loose ends. It's a show to create questions.
The problem with this multiverse thing is it's always going to be utterly, utterly convoluted.
Exactly.
Like, it's not going to make complete sense because there's so many different stories intertwining.
It's the same thing with the time travel in Endgame. If you look close enough at any time travel film, you're going to find a plot hole. It's one of those things where if you want to enjoy it and you want to enjoy what happens next, you've just got to accept that these are the rules that universe has created. And they're going to try and follow it to the best of their ability.
Do you remember when I made that point? It's kind of very different, but you know, remember As Above, So Below? And we're talking about how scary a film it was up until a certain point, because
when
it was all of...
first person COD running.
Yeah, but specifically, it's like early on, it was all about sort of, it was all very almost grounded. And everything that happened was like a little hint. Yeah. It was just a little flip, kind of something that made you just a bit paranoid that something was going to happen. And then the moment it was not scary was when that man, like burning man, came out of the car. And as soon as it became like this fantasy thing where anything could happen and nothing surprised you, like the magic of it was just completely lost. Like fantasy kind of needs to have rules too.
I still think it has. It does have rules. It's not like they can just...
Very minimal though, isn't it, now?
Well, I mean, if you read the comics or if you just, like, it's a universe where there are minimal rules, and I think that's the whole point. And I think they're not doing it to be, like, really, like, strict with their rules. It's there to tell interesting stories that people will like and care about.
Yeah. To be fair, this is all, like, none of this is really judgment. It's more concern, because I don't know how they're going to deal with it yet. There's a chance that they might deal with it like beyond any of my expectations.
Yeah, I think you're sort of, a lot of it is your like hypothetical situations that might happen. I don't think they're going to press it out as far as everyone thinks.
Yeah, I hope not.
I don't think they're going to bring in like, it's like clearly already like not every film is going to deal with the multiverse. They're still going to have like films like Eternals and Shang-Chi, which deal with more like smaller stories, I guess.
Yeah, so it seems like a bit like, imagine all that multiverse stuff going on, like, and then you switch over the channel and like someone's just defeating like a Power Rangers monster who's like threatening to destroy one little village.
Yeah,
it's like just completely differing stakes.
It's easy. I understand your like concern, and I think it's obviously quite easy to pick plot holes throughout the whole multiverse thing, because it's something that it's exactly like time travel. If you look close enough, you're going to find a hole in it. And I think you've just sort of got to ignore it and try and enjoy it, or have it eat up at you and be like, oh, this is awful now.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I don't care enough about Marvel for it to eat me away. Yeah. I do. I invest a lot into Marvel because it looks like it's the sort of thing that's just going to last a long time now. Mm. And if you're going to watch film and TV and stuff like that, you kind of have to at least try it out, because it's probably the biggest thing in moving image at the moment, and will be for a little while, the MCU. So this is
unrelated. It's just popped into my head because I remember reading about it somewhere. I saw somewhere like, Warner Bros. Are like sort of going into work with a different production company and sort of putting themselves together. And then there's rumors that Disney might buy them. So if it does happen, I think it ends up that Disney will own DC. So that means if they wanted to, they could use a multiverse. If they could use a multiverse for a Marvel versus DC film.
I think
it would be a fun crossover.
If you've heard Stan Lee talk about the difference between Marvel and DC, I think that puts it into perspective quite well. I'd recommend watching the interview where he compares them.
if he hated it that much, he wouldn't have done it so often in the comics.
Yeah, well, no, but that's just because that's what the people wanted. But it's like, it's like the whole idea of like Marvel heroes is they're very faulted and they're like, and the whole idea with DC heroes is they're a lot more, I suppose they kind of fit like the American ideal a bit more in that they're like all powerful and they're like role models at being so amazing at what they do, like to the point like with Batman, he's just really good at what he does. With Superman, he's literally like the perfect being.
Again, I think if you actually, Batman is an incredibly troubled character. This is a completely different conversation for a completely different podcast, but Batman is far from perfect. He is an incredibly troubled and beaten character.
Yeah, it might not have been the best example, actually, but...
But let's move back to Loki.
I was ready to... to be honest, there's not a whole lot that I can remember that I have something to say about, but you might have a lot of stuff lined
anyone
up.
Anyone want some trivia?
Go on, Tom, you go first,
and I'll say the trivia.
One of my favourite things about it was Jonathan Majors' performance in the last episode. I think an episode like that with Because a lot of it was exposition. It was a lot of talking, like, la, 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 this is going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And I think that would have been absolutely awful to watch if there was a different actor who wasn't as magnetic as he was in that episode. And I also think it's... I think it's brilliant to have a big bad or a villain who's so, so different to Thanos. Like, you have that massive, imposing Titan who's very... serious, deep, and bloody-da, and then you've got this incredibly eccentric man who I think is sort of the polar opposite to him, and I think it's very good. I was a big fan.
Yeah, it, to be fair, the comedy felt a lot less like he was reading off a script. It kind of felt like it owned it a bit. I don't know if there was actually a lot of ad-lib from him, but it felt like it was.
Yeah,
he flowed very well in that whole scene. There was, it didn't feel like he was out of place with the other two. And Loki's like one of the most charismatic characters in the MCU, and I think he sort of stood alongside him well.
Yeah, he did very well at. I had this thought. Oh yeah, he did very well at like being charismatic and eccentric, while still also being extremely imposing. Like his
kind of.
Style. Yeah, the words he had meaning and weight. Like what he said felt like he meant it every time he said it.
Mm.
But yeah, I could probably find some more positives and cons. But
Tom, it's trivia time.
Is it Lokivia?
Lokivia, yeah, it's yogurt time.
Yes.
Rather than read Marvel Comics to prepare for the role of Agent Mobius, Owen Wilson instead had Tom Hiddleston explain the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe to him.
Oh, I've already read that. I just realised I've actually read through the first bits of trivia.
Right, I'll scroll down.
That's kind of annoying. Yeah, about that.
I like that trivia.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, it's interesting though, isn't it? Because it makes the character a blank canvas to all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very true.
Mobius.
Kate Herron that's the director, by the way, based the Time Variance Authority on her own experience serving as a temp worker. That's quite cool. That makes sense as well. It's very,
a worker in an office.
Oh, I thought you said a tent worker.
Yeah, she worked in tents.
Tents, like,
what the hell? What is the comparison? There was one tent scene. I was going to say, is that like the only bit she got control of?
In the Renaissance, she worked as a tent worker.
Yeah. Anyway,
you'll like this one, Henry. Michael Waldron was brought in as showrunner due to his work on the adventure comedy Rick and Morty. I suppose there was elements of there's obviously portals and multiverses and stuff in that, so that makes sense.
Rick and Morty is a show where there's not really any stakes.
Yeah, I know, but it's not serious. Like that.
Yeah,
It's like it's very self-aware. It realizes that there's absolutely no rules. Rick and Morty's great.
And the animated mascot Miss Minutes is inspired by the animated character Mr. DNA from Jurassic Park. That's pretty obvious, to be fair.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah,
and she was voiced by someone. Never mind. It's not the same person I'm thinking of. Ignore that.
Fair play.
Do that as the highlight.
Yeah.
Do you want any more trivia?
That'll be an interesting one.
Give it a bit more trivia. The Time Variance Authority headquarters was inspired by the Atlanta Marriott Marquis Hotel, a 50-story building with a distinctive atrium chamber that spans the whole length of the building and has elevators and bridges. So if anyone wants to see the inspiration, have a little Google of that. That's probably quite cool.
Yeah.
Not that we've Googled it, but...
No, I haven't,
probably quite cool.
I can imagine what it looks like.
Yeah, probably.
Do you know why? Because I've watched the show.
Yeah.
There you go.
Top-tier stuff.
And also, last one for you. This is Marvel Studios' first villain-centric project.
Oh, yes, I also remember seeing that. That's surprising, though. I'm genuinely quite surprised at that.
I think it's also a bit of a stretch to call him a villain at this point, I think.
I mean, Scarlet Witch started as a villain as well. So.
And she sort of turned into one again. He did do that, but as we've learned in this show, he didn't get a choice.
I wonder how many people he killed.
Oh, an awful lot, yeah.
Yeah. Probably not a villain, though.
But everyone loves him now, Henry, because
he had a bad childhood.
He's a little mischievous little... But yeah, a bad childhood. He was a prince.
Mental health. All that rubbish.
He's a little mischievous little lad, Henry. He's a little rascal.
Yeah, anyway. Has anyone got anything to add? Because I was going to give my rating.
Oh, yeah, rating.
Actually, I'll go last, because I feel like it'll be like a downer.
Yeah, that's what we want to end the episode on, a downer.
Okay, not like that. Really.
I say give us your rating, Henry, then we'll go. Yeah. We'll do ours.
I think I was trying to be proper honest on myself. I didn't want to go too low just for shock value or too high just to sort of be closer to you. I think about 7 for me.
That's higher than I was expecting.
That's higher than you gave WandaVision and Thingy as well.
Yeah, because WandaVision,
both of them.
WandaVision was snarling. Absolutely. WandaVision killed this in the middle of it, but the ending was so bad and the start was so boring that it just made for like a dreadful impression.
WandaVision built up so many things to then just be like have a really dull conclusion to them. Loki built up certain things to have quite an entertaining conclusion.
Yeah.
One that actually had weight moving forward.
Substance.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't remember what I rated the other ones. So if I rate this and someone goes back and it's actually lower than the other ones, then ignore that because it's better.
Okay.
I'd probably give it like an 8.
Mm-hmm.
An 8.5 out of 10.
Because
I feel like I spent a lot of the time defending the show today and Henry spent a lot of the time picking out bits, but clearly we had views on the other sides.
Yeah, for me, it is, probably an 8 out of 10 as well. Mm. I wrote down in my likes of it, it had fans guessing as much as WandaVision and was far less boringly linear than Winter Soldier. So I thought, it had like twists and turns in it, and it sort of delivered on its promise, which WandaVision didn't.
You know what was pretty mad about the Falcon Winter Soldier thing? Is I haven't thought about it until I was thinking about the TV because I was thinking about the TV shows, like, oh yeah, Marvel doing TV shows now. And that's when it popped into my head. I literally hadn't thought about it since like a week after I finished it. It was so forgettable.
That feels like so much lower than the other two to me. I think I gave it the same rating as I gave WandaVision, but I think it's a lot lower down than I said.
In retrospect, I would agree. Again,
I think... Wasn't all that interesting, was it?
I think the other two shows sort of had more of a mountain to climb than this one. So I think I think overall the fans liked Loki as a character before this TV show a lot more than they liked the other characters before their TV shows.
Mm.
So I think they sort of had to, because, I mean, again, this I'm speaking for myself, but like Wanda, Vision, and the other two, I didn't really care for them that much as characters, but each of their shows really made me like them more than the films had.
Yeah.
Whereas this show sort of just, I liked Loki as much as I liked him before.
But I mean, I wouldn't say that I had like a massive like love for Wanda. Like I didn't really, before like, I don't know what
she'll
film it was.
Hurt.
I didn't even realise.
Elizabeth Olsen, we're sorry.
I didn't even realise like how powerful she was until like I can't remember which film it was, but it came like a bullet. The series, I just thought it was the self-awareness crept in so slowly that I really enjoyed that process. Like, whereas I think, and here's a comparison actually with Loki, I feel like if the same speed of Loki was applied to WandaVision, like that whole sort of twist and that whole like sort of like moving the needle in, like an inch each episode, that wouldn't have happened, and WandaVision would have been like much, much worse. Like that subtlety and that sort of holding their horses with how fast they unravel things, it made people frustrated, but also it there was more reward in progression.
Well, I think the next Marvel show, which people now think will be canon, is the What If series, which comes out at the start of next month. I think it's in like a week or 2 weeks. I think there's like 8, 9, 10 episodes of that, so we'll probably do that one as well.
That looks cool.
Is Jason Derulo gonna do the track for that?
They haven't. I don't think they've confirmed it, but why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Missing an opportunity if they don't.
And then after that, I think they've said by the end of this year we'll have at least started Miss Marvel and Hawkeye, so we will have them to do as well.
Okay, cool.
Miss Marvel's not a character I know a great deal about, but she'll have a TV show, and then Hawkeye will be there.
I was just thinking, should I know?
Nobody likes Hawkeye.
I was just thinking, like, what is it? I don't know how on earth I'm gonna find a way to watch Black Widow because I'm not paying £30.
I think they said it's coming out on like DVD or like Blu-ray quite soon. Or you can go to the cinema.
I mean, yeah, soon.
I mean, it's all right. There's no rush to watch it. It's like a solid mid-tier Marvel film. 6 or 7 out of 10.
Oh. Okay. For some reason, I thought I heard that it was really good.
It's sort of like... And this isn't a review for Black Widow, but it's sort of like... It was like when there were fight scenes, it was like just about to give you exactly what you wanted, and then it sort of ended. I was like, you were this close to giving me exactly what I wanted, and then it went, nah, sorry.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Bring It podcast.
What?
Definitely a much smoother ending than in previous. Let's not ruin this now, because now
I've said it. We can do if you want.
No, now that I've said it, it's going to go all bad. So thanks for coming to the Bring 'Em It podcast. Really enjoyed you being here.
We did.
Well, yeah.
Especially anyway, you, right there.
Yeah, Tom's trying to do the thing, so we're not going to let him.
I am.
See you later. Bye.